Program. What's happening today, Tracy? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing? Where were you yesterday?
Where
were you?
You know, the first thing to, or the second thing to go when you get old is your memory.
I was waiting for you on Monday. You know, that was, I was usually on Mondays. But then I realized that Dave's going to take advantage of any day off he can get.
I gave the, oh, jeez.
We're asking our listening audience, so we've always done, you know, your favorite game you've ever attended and all that kind of stuff. What's the worst sporting event you've ever seen in person, Tracy?
Gosh, the worst?
Yeah.
Probably tennis match.
A tennis match?
Just any tennis match?
Well, when I was at UPI, I had to come. Well, you know what? No, I'll say this. The worst thing I ever witnessed was when I was at UPI and I had to go to the Broadmoor and I had to cover the World Figure Skating Championship.
Oh, wow.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 19. It would have been 73 or 74.
I'm surprised you even remember that decade knowing you at that time.
Well, back then things didn't slip away quite. I hadn't eroded as many brain cells at that point
in time. Wow, U.S. figure skating.
They had hired a guy from New Jersey who sat next to me to tell me what was going on the ice.
Well, okay.
You had no clue type of deal?
No. And then we had to write like forever because it was big in Europe and they were in a different time zone. It's like, you got to be kidding.
Was that your first and only time writing about figure skating?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least.
Fortunate thing was when I was at UPI was the European clients loved rodeo stuff. They were so infatuated with the West, and being in Cheyenne or Denver when I was with UPI, I had the RCA. It wasn't PRCA yet. It was just RCA. And so I was able to do a bunch of stuff on rodeo, and the German clients were unbelievably, they'd go nuts over anything.
Really? I remember several years ago, when one of my first Frontier days, there was a French television station, and I just got done interviewing a cowboy for something, one of the Rough Stock events, and they asked if they could interview me about Frontier days, and I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah, it is kind of interesting.
The old West just intrigues the Europeans.
I remember, Tracy, when we were working out of the back of what is now in that little room in the back of what's now headquarters building out there where the old stage was, we had that little tiny room there with a fax machine or whatever they called them those days, getting the results. And the number of Germans and French and all the Europeans that were over here, including press, but just plain, you know, just plain fans that came all the way from Europe to Cheyenne Frontier Day. It was phenomenal in those days.
We were the original PR people.
We absolutely were.
Miller, we had to deal with Jack Miller, who wanted to charge anyone that wanted to cover the event for admission.
Yeah. You and I, and I guess we had Scott Benning in there at one time, but that was the original PR department of the Frontier Days.
And we had great leadership with Jack Spate gosh darn it. I knew his name before. So my mom taught him in grade school in Pinedale. It was Jack's partner, Dave Carmichael,
yeah.
They were the head. They were our guiding lights. Two screwed-up kids.
And then became a federal bankruptcy judge.
Yeah, but that type of leadership wasn't what we needed at Frontier Day.
No, it wasn't what we needed. they were never the kind of leadership we needed.
Tracy, I wanted to dive into something that the Tampa Bay Rays
have.
Yeah, I know. The Tampa Bay Rays have kind of started switching to baseball, and you've gotten into conversations about this, about Sergio Romo starting games and everybody becoming infatuated with this. Am I in the minority when I think that's just kind of crazy way of thinking to...
I was just talking to Manny Randala, who's a big believer. He goes, well, look at starting pitchers at ERA in the first inning. I go, yeah, it's 3. Sergio Romo's is 12.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about Sergio Romo. I go, well, he's your cross bearer. I go, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's, I go, that's even dumber than having robotic umpires.
I mean, if we could just take this for an instance, why having Wade Davis start a game for the Rockies, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you put your closer in to pitch one inning to start a game to get three outs when it's you've got eight more innings to go? It just doesn't make any sense.
My question is, what happens if you come down to the bottom of the ninth and you got a one-run lead and Davis pitched in the first? Now what do you do?
Well, they're bringing a starter because they pitch well later in the game. Oh, no, they don't, because they don't allow starters to pitch nine innings anymore, so we don't know what they can do in the ninth inning. We're trying to dumb the game down. We're not trying. We will never have another great pitcher because we're not going to give guys a chance, because you can only pitch four innings in a game in the minor leagues because we're going to protect you. Well, if you want to protect me, get rid of the slider and raise the mound. Ever since the mound got lowered in 1969, the first Tommy John surgery was in 1972. Okay? I know that's probably just a wild coincidence, but that's also when they began to throw sliders instead of curveballs.
Uh-huh.
Curveball is part of it, is a natural elbow action. If you throw a curveball properly and a changeup properly and a fastball properly, it's all the same arm action. Therefore, you don't strain muscles. If you throw a slider, it's a violent cross action that aggravates the tendons in your elbow. Gee, I wonder how come they tear.
So, okay, you're telling us all this. Why can't the people in power figure this out?
Because their computers don't spit out reality. They spit out numbers, and we're going to homogenize the game because we're going to say, well, this is the trend. But we're not going to say, yeah, well, Nolan Ryan was 92-4 when he took the mound in the ninth inning with a lead at least through 1979. So I really wouldn't want him out there pitching the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning with a lead, because he only won 93% of his games if he had a lead going into the ninth inning. Boy, you wouldn't want him on the mound, would you?
Absolutely not. So
we don't train guys. We don't develop arms anymore to throw a number of pitches. And so then we say, well, they're not capable, but they're going to hurt their arm. Well, of course they're going to hurt their arm because you haven't developed it. That's just like saying, well, we're going to send a sprinter out there, but you know, you're going to run the mile, but you're only going to run at mile speed, but you're only going to run 100 yards at a time because I don't want you to get tired. Now, well, you're going to go pitch, but you're only pitching three innings because I don't want to push you too far. How are you going to build up strength? Just don't do all the weird things in between. Like, just do things that the body is that's natural for your body. Put a steep mound in. Raise the mound back. You lowered it because you were feeling sorry for hitters not hitting home runs. Well, now all they want to do is strike out, so why worry about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think analytics have a part in the game somewhat, but you also have to use common sense.
They've had a part in the game for years. It's just that people were smart enough not to brag about it because it was going to be their edge. Now everybody wants to be the smartest guy, so they're going to brag about everything they're doing. And by the way, the big analytics team's Houston, right?
Yeah.
They're starting pitchers that pitch more innings than any team in baseball.
I hate
the bullpen's pitch fewer innings.
I don't like, the one thing I don't like is the fact that, and we had Brandon Nimmo on a few weeks ago, and I asked him, you know, why the numbers of strikeouts are up and all that kind of stuff, not putting the ball in play. And I don't like the fact that we're saying that striking out is the same thing as putting the ball in play, so why not just go ahead and swing for the fences, even though you're going to get out? It just doesn't make any sense. I get in reality, yes, you're 0-for-1 if you do get out, but if you put the ball in play, at least there's a chance.
First of all, you put the ball in play and you put it on the ground, there's a chance you might advance the runner. Or you hit the ball deep to the outfield, there's a chance you might advance the runner.
Which we saw Monday night.
You can't advance the runner with a strikeout.
Well, and Tracy, we talked...
If you put the ball in play, the guy might drop it, or he might throw it away. You don't have to worry about that with a strikeout.
Well, let's look at last night. The Rockies had one two-run homer last night, right? Everything else, we put the ball in play and good things happen. Now, San Francisco is a god-awful defensive team at times, but the Rockies put it in play last night, and they did the same thing on Monday, and they come out with two wins, and they scored more runs basically than they have all year when they've been swinging for the fences thinking, hey, we got to get home runs. Put the ball in play, let the other guys make a few mistakes if that happens, and you got a chance for things to happen, which has happened the last two games. They haven't been, you know, I think the thing that I liked best about the walk-off on Monday was in the ninth inning, they just played good, solid baseball, and there wasn't anybody up there, you know, trying to swing from their heels to be the hero and get a home run in that 10th inning. They played good, solid baseball, took advantage of what the Giants gave them, and they come out with a walk-off with a single.
Well, and the other thing is at the top of the 10th, he had a great defensive play made by Desmond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the throw to third base, which takes pressure off the pitcher because now you don't have runners on second and third. You got runners on first and second still. At least you give them a chance to get out of it. You know, I agree 100%. I mean, the strikeout is like, I was talking with Nolan, and he's like, I could strike 7,000 guys out in my career if they have these swings they have now, because nobody could hit the fastball up. You're giving up the upper half of the strike zone with this loft pick. You know, it's funny because Talkman came up this year. He was, what, 1-for-19 or something before he got sent back down?
Yeah.
And a scout in spring training said he'll never hit in the big leagues. I said, why? I mean, he hit 18 home runs last year. Yeah, he says, yeah, he went from 1 to 18 at Albuquerque from one year to the next. He goes, you know what he did? He got one of those loft swings. Pitchers down there aren't around enough, haven't been around enough. They keep throwing the ball down. He gets to the big leagues, he'll never see a ball in the lower part of the strike zone, and he can't hit the ball in the upper part of the strike zone because he's going down to scoop.
Talking about guys that have come up this year, moving along, you got LeMahieu now, who's probably, what, a week away from being back with a big team if he keeps, you know, getting better. You got Castro and you got McMahon. Now, McMahon was god-awful the first part of the season. He went back to Albuquerque. Now he comes back up. He's playing very respectable ball. He's hitting the ball. He's playing good defense. But Castro's doing better. He's not hitting the ball as well, but he's playing good defense. If DJ comes back next week, which one of those guys do you think goes down? Is that decision already made, or will it depend on what happens in the next 7 or 8 days?
I think it'll depend on what happens. Now, one thing is you really don't need to worry that much about roster moves till they come, because you don't know what's going to happen before they happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're talking about the move today, I would say probably Castro goes down. But if you go another week and Desmond keeps hitting the way he's hitting, you probably send McMahon down because he still has things to learn and get better. You don't want him sitting. Castro is a utility player. He's a superb defensive player. His role will be very limited if LeMahieu comes back, as any infielder's role would be limited. I mean, if Desmond keeps moving forward like he is, particularly given the presence he is on the team, LeMahieu comes back, and you have Story, and you have Arenado, where's the infielder going to get playing time? But one thing you do know is you're going to need a second baseman next year, whether it's Hampson or whether it's McMahon, right? So you want to make sure you get those guys the at-bats and get them moving forward, that they move forward, because they're not going to sign LeMahieu to a long-term contract, I don't think.
Good stuff. Tracy, we always appreciate the time. We will get back on to Mondays next week. Thank you so much.
Hey, talk to you guys later.
See ya. There you go.